Hey, this is Mike Bobbitt. I'm a guy who used to make things, and sometimes I still do. These days, I prefer making podcasts, and I have a new one called Soundtrack to My Life. On this podcast, I talk to different creative people about the music that shaped them. Sometimes the conversations are funny, and sometimes they're just kind of sweet.
I love that Pina Colada song. Yeah, I do.
Rihanna has had a huge impact on my songwriting.
I'm diving into the ocean, finding that one fish that has the toxins, and I'm just drinking those toxins all day.
Maybe they're saying, like, you should now go forth and rock. It's like a peace be with you situation.
I also have a playlist called F-Jams. One into it, just in case.
We dance to a jazz version of My Favorite Things.
Soundtrack to My Life. It's available exclusive on Spotify. It's a exclusive. I'm going to try to make that word take off. It's a music plus talk show, meaning I can play songs in their entirety. So think of this as an interactive playlist with some of the coolest creative people I know, and you should know too. Soundtrack to My Life, a Spotify exclusive.
Hey, Marty B.
Hey, what's going on, Angie? How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good here in a phone booth in beautiful Detroit, Michigan.
It feels funny to record not on Zoom because I'm actually using headphones and a microphone. And yeah. I'm like, okay, it sounds good so far. So I'm hoping that the quality sounds good for our listeners. But yeah, we're not doing Zoom because we had so many technical issues the last couple of times we've recorded, so we're breaking out the old Zoom recorder and a little technology,
yeah,
a little Bluetooth action, and we're gonna see how this works. So we've used this before when we did an interview with Nate. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
Okay, so it was a while ago, and it took me quite a while this time around to figure out how to use it again. So hopefully. Hopefully this goes a little bit smoother. Hello.
Hello. Hey.
Did it cut out? Are you messing second. With me? Okay. Jesus. All right. Well, we're going to give it a shot and see what happens. So.
Yes.
Okay. So today's episode is going to be about the Old Sauk Trail. This was a topic that was suggested by one of our listeners. So do you know anything about the Sauk Trail?
Interesting. No, I don't, but I'm aware of the Sauk tribe.
Okay.
That was previously in Michigan.
All right. Well, the Sauk Trail was originally a Native American trail that ran through what is now Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. From the west to the east, the trail ran from Rock Island on the Mississippi River to the Illinois River near what is now Peru, then along the north bank of that river to Joliet and on to Valparaiso, Indiana.
Okay.
Then it ran northeasterly to LaPorte and into southern Michigan, running through Niles, Sturgis, Ypsilanti, and ending at the Detroit River near Detroit.
Oh, is that maybe how US 12 was put in place along the Old Sauk Trail?
What are you, a psychic medium or something?
Oh, just a fan of maps. I'm simply a fan of maps.
Yeah, so we will talk about that. What's really cool is that this episode is going to kind of tie into a couple of our other episodes that we've talked about. So as we travel the Sauk Trail, I think our listeners will be able to pinpoint a couple of different episodes that we've already done, which is really cool to me how everything is kind of intertwining. So
that's the beauty of this show.
It's
all history. It all comes together.
That's a fact. So, the University of Michigan paleontologist discovered that the Sauk Trail was originally formed by the migratory habits of mastodons and ancient bison herds towards the end of the last ice age, which was between 2.6 million to 11,700 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Mastodon skeletons have been found along the southern corridor of the state of Michigan, which U of M paleontologists named the Mastodon Trailway because of the great number of remains discovered. The mastodon's Ice Age global range stretched across the northern tier of Eurasia and North America, known as Mammoth Steppe. We talked about paleontology in Michigan on season one, episode 37. So if you want to learn more about that and you haven't listened to that episode, you can go back and take a listen.
Yeah.
As temps rose and the glaciers began receding, the mastodons shifted their migration northward again. They coexisted with Stone Age humans who depended on them for food, clothing, and shelter until diminishing surviving herds were hunted to extinction at the end of the Ice Age.
It's crazy to think about that there used to be mastodons walking around here?
Yeah, with people.
Yeah.
Like
wearing mastodon skins and eating mastodon burgers.
Mastodon burgers. I wonder what that tasted like. Like, was it more like deer meat, like venison tasting? Was it more like hamburger, like cows?
I imagine it was pretty gamey at the time. You know? Yeah. They didn't have buttermilk back then. Maybe they did. I don't know.
The prehistoric trailway continued as a migratory path for herd animals for many thousands of years, most notably elk and deer. Paleo-Americans used the pathway as a game trail and passageway to the Mississippi River and the heartland of the continent. Much later, early Native Americans adopted the well-worn trails of the large grazing animals and used them for their nomadic traveling. The name Sauk Trail came from the Sauk tribe, who traveled the region from Minnesota and Wisconsin to the Great Lakes chain in Detroit. Sometime later, the Potawatomi Indians took up use of the trail. In 1820, Henry Schoolcraft returned to Detroit from an expedition mapping Michigan, following the Great Lakes from the headwaters of Lake Erie north and around the Great Lakes to the southern shore of Lake Michigan. Schoolcraft and his expedition returned following the Sauk Trail across what would eventually be the state of Michigan.
Our man Schoolcraft.
We have talked about him in so many episodes, I did not even jot that down because he is everywhere.
Yeah, he's sort of the unofficial mascot of the show, I think.
Yeah, I would say that's probably a good not analogy, but yeah, that's a fact.
Sorry.
In his journal notes, Schoolcraft described the trail as, quote, a plain horse path, considerably used by traders, hunters, and settlers. He noted that many minor trails and early dirt roads crossed the Sauk Trail, making it difficult to follow in many areas without a guide. The Sauk Trail intersected many important trails and early roads, including trails to Vincennes, to Green Bay, to Fort Wayne, and to Little Traverse Bay.
Okay.
Here's a fun fact. In Season 2, Episodes 24 and 25, we talked about the Underground Railroad in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
The old Sauk Trail was also a frequented passage for those on the Underground Railroad.
That's what I was thinking, too.
The McCoy Homestead, which we touched on in those past episodes, was a stop along the Underground Railroad.
Wow.
I know.
See how it all comes together? Thank you, crazy. Mr. Schoolcraft.
A significant stopping point for Native Americans was near the Rouge River, about 5 miles south of downtown Detroit, referred to by historians as the River Rouge Mound. This 800-foot-long, 400-foot-wide, and 40-foot-high mound was a ceremonial burying ground that held more than 1,300 skeletons. Indigenous people would stay at this sacred mound for multiple days and hold festivities to honor their ancestors. Surprisingly, these celebrations were misunderstood by the European-American settlers who distrusted the Native Americans and who eventually destroyed the mound. The site sand was sold to produce mortar and the indigenous remains were discarded into the river.
Jeez.
That is the most horrible thing that I've read.
Yeah, that's not good.
Just
now, is that the site of the old fort in Detroit?
That I don't know. I didn't see anything about that, but it could be.
Okay.
Well, if not, it's very close to it from the sounds of it. In the early 1800s, construction began on parts of the Sauk Trail to turn it into a road. Chances are pretty high that the road at that time was either a plank or corduroy road, which we discussed in season 1, episode 23.
Oh, this is like the thesis episode.
Right.
Bringing it all back together.
Yeah. At first, the road was used primarily for trade between Fort Wayne, Indiana and Chicago, Illinois, but it slowly became a favored route for the U.S. military and settlers migrating to the West. In 1823, a Jesuit priest from Detroit, Father Gabriel Richard, was elected as a non-voting delegate from the Michigan Territory to the House of Representatives for the 18th United States Congress. He secured Michigan's first federal appropriation for road construction connecting Detroit with Chicago. The proposed
infrastructure week.
Yep.
Sorry.
The proposed road was surveyed in 1825, and it essentially followed the Sauk Trail across the state. Construction began in 1827, and the 210-mile road was finished in 1833, costing a grand total of $87,000.
Wow.
I don't know what that would be in today's money.
Probably a lot. I mean, considering, you know, how long that road is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I can't imagine any road being fixed in Michigan for the sum of $87,000.
No.
So, yeah, pretty big chunk of change back then.
You almost could have stopped after I couldn't imagine any road being fixed in Michigan.
Yeah, that's probably true, too.
I'm just saying, we're going on 2 years now with this telegraph road thing going on. Anyway.
Golly, I hate telegraph road. It's just, yeah, it's constantly under construction, and it is so bad. But yeah. Someday, it'll all be in a distant memory, and we'll laugh about it.
One day. Hey, since we're on a tangent about Telegraph Road, fun fact, the Dire Straits song Telegraph Road was written about this Telegraph Road.
Was it really?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. A British band wrote that song. They were actually driving up, like, they were on tour in the United States when Mark Knopfler wrote that song, and I believe they were, you know, coming up from Toledo to Detroit on Telegraph Road.
Oh, that's really interesting. Song is,
like, it's kind of a song about, like, industrialization and all that. Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to go off on a tangent, but Dire Straits is a great band.
Yeah, anyway, how'd you find that out?
Just being a fan.
Okay. There's a song by Childish Gambino called Telegraph Road. But it's Telegraph Road, Oakland Ave. And I'm not sure if there's a Telegraph Road in California, maybe. But I always like to, whenever I hear that song, I like to think that he's talking about our Telegraph Road.
I think there are a couple Telegraph Roads, but I know specifically the Dire Straits one is about the one in Detroit.
That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah, me too.
So back to our Sauk Trail.
Avenue.
Yep. What is presently known as Michigan Avenue has been called many names over the years. First, history records call it Sauk Trail, obviously. It was little more than a footpath until the government improved it and renamed it Military Road. And then for a time, the road was known as the Chicago Turnpike and then shortened to Chicago Road.
Okay.
The two-lane highway from Detroit to Chicago has been known as Michigan Avenue since 1926, when the roadway was paved for automobile traffic. With construction of the interstate highway system during the Eisenhower administration in the late 50s, many established U.S. highways were fragmented. U.S. 12 was rerouted in some areas, including the link between Ypsilanti and Saline, to simplify state maps and minimize confusion for motorists. Michigan Avenue goes from Detroit to Dearborn, Wayne, Ypsilanti, Saline, Clinton, Irish Hills, Jonesville, Coldwater, Sturgis, Three Oaks, and New Buffalo before it dips into Michigan City, Indiana.
How far have you driven on Michigan Avenue?
Ooh, probably not very far. Like,
I think I've taken it from Detroit to Coldwater. That's as far as I've gone.
Did we take US 12 when we went down to Niles?
You know what? We may have been on it for a while, but did we take it the whole way?
I don't think we took it the whole way. So that's probably wherever we got off of Michigan Ave when we were going to Niles, that would be probably the furthest
for
I've ever.
Season 1, episode.
Ooh, I don't know what episode. But it was one of the first ones. Yeah. I could look it up really quick.
Talking about that home in Niles, the ghost house with the dead kids.
The ghost house with the dead kids.
Sorry, I just remember it, but
it starts with a Beeson Manor.
Yeah. Yes.
Or mansion it was. Okay. Let's see. That is episode
3, 4.
Episode 4. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Episode 4 from season 1, we talked about Beeson Mansion and Crypt, and that's why we were traveling on Michigan Avenue towards Niles, Michigan.
There you go.
Yeah. So
I take that back. Then Niles, then I'll say it was the farthest I've been on.
Okay.
It was 12.
So the other way I've taken it into Detroit, and, you know, that's, I mean, but that's kind of like, that's one of those things that you just like take for granted. You're just like, oh, you know, whatever.
I don't want to get on 94.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I now work on Michigan Avenue.
Yes, you do.
In Dearborn. And so, you know,
what I was going to say, what's weird about Dearborn is there's a street that shoots off of Michigan Avenue called Military Street.
There is.
I was wondering if that had anything to do with the old military street before it became Michigan Avenue.
Well, I guess it could, since they said that it was like fragmented and they kind of rerouted and, you know.
Yeah.
So it's definitely possible that that part of that road is the same as...
Just when you get one answer, 10 more questions pop up.
No doubt. That's so cool, though. I love that this one, like, just kind of... Well, first of all, let me say, I hope that the person that suggested this topic is now satisfied. I hope that whatever...
Yes, thank you for suggesting it, too.
Yeah, I hope that whatever information they were looking for, I was able to capture it for them. There, you know, a lot of the information is the same, and it's pretty... I mean, considering the fact that the trail started, you know, a million years ago, it's like there's a lot of missing information, but I hope that we were able to capture whatever it was that they were looking for. But it's so cool how everything's starting to intertwine and come together and bleed into one another. And we're really starting to, put the pieces together in the puzzle that is Michigan.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know what? Speaking of like fragmenting roads and all that, and getting back to Telegraph Road was part of the old Dixie Highway, which, you know, it's still called Dixie Highway up, you know, up near Flint,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, northern Oakland County. You know, there's that Dixie Highway area that Telegraph Road turns into, like in Waterford.
Yeah.
And the Dixie Highway before I-75 was like the old north-south route from the south, you know, to the north.
Okay.
And it basically, you know, went, you know, the length of 75, but in the old, you know, US 12, you know, two lane road version. I sound like I'm crazy right now, probably trying to explain this. I'm waving my hand around in the air, like drawing a map, but basically, again, we're getting to the old freeway system. 75 was built, you know, kind of along the old Dixie Highway route running from Florida, you know, all the way from Miami, basically, to Sault Ste. Marie.
I wonder what the purpose was to building, like, expressways next to very long roads that were already, like, is it just a speed thing? Like, what's the purpose of that?
I think it was just because those routes were already established, you know, and a lot of areas they could actually just build over segments of that road to create the freeway.
Mm, that makes sense.
Like, I mean, that freeways generally, you know, they follow existing roads already. Like, you think of like 696, like kind of on the north side of Detroit, that area that runs from like, you know, Farmington Hills to, you know, all the way to the east side where it reconnects with 94. That was actually built, a lot of that was built along 11 Mile. That's why 11 Mile disappears, you know, from like, Southfield area, Lathrop Village. It kind of disappears, you know, alongside the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes the service road and, you know, even just disappears in spots because that's where they built the freeway along 11 Mile.
Oh, okay. And I think I'm notoriously bad with directions, but I think I actually do know kind of where you're talking about. Because I think parts of 10 Mile and 9 Mile also kind of stop just randomly over in that area.
Well, 10 Mile does, yeah, in Oak Park. Like, it kind of connects to 696 when it comes down. So yeah, like, I mean, it was basically they built that along, 11 Mile was the primary road, and then, 10 down to 10 Mile, all that. But that's just an example of how they build freeways along existing roads already.
Yeah, that's crazy. And in the episode where we talked about plank roads and corduroy roads, we also talked about the first paved road in the state. I'm sure you remember which road that was.
Woodward?
Yep.
Yep.
And that's also the where the first traffic light was ever put.
In the nation, I believe, or
I
just in the
think in the
nation?
nation, I believe it was in the nation, but I can't be 100% positive on that one. I can't recall exactly, but I'm pretty sure it was the first forever.
Yeah. I mean,
And
getting back to those roads, like the way like Detroit is built, like the map, it's got like those five roads, Michigan Avenue, Woodward, like Gratiot, Van Dyke, I think. I don't know what the ones on the east side are, but it's like the five roads that kind of radiate out from downtown outward.
Yeah.
And that's yeah. It's a little Detroit map
Yeah.
stuff for you.
The cool thing about that first traffic light is, like, I mean, obviously it wasn't automatic, but if you've seen pictures of it, there's a man standing inside of this thing that's like up high,
Yeah.
and he basically changes. I don't know exactly how the lights were changed. But it's very cool to see, the first light, like, and then it makes me wonder, like, obviously they had to work in shifts, but like, how long were the
Yeah.
shifts? Did you have to stand there for a full 8 hours? Was it a 12-hour shift? Like, when it was
Yeah.
time for shift change, how did that look? What,
And then also at night, like, because it wasn't a 24-hour day really for people back then.
Right.
People, did you just leave it at like 7 o'clock at night and just whatever, whoever's driving this route at night, it's on you.
Right. It's just like a
They
free
actually
for
have like
all.
a Yeah, have you ever seen that statue in Ferndale at 9 Mile and Woodward? It's like a tribute statue to the old street light system like that. The old stoplight system. It's right on the like kind of in that island, separating the northbound and southbound lanes
Okay.
of Woodward, like at that crosswalk right there at 9 and Woodward. It's a little I think they call it the crow's nest, but it's like a
Oh.
little tribute little tower with like a little cutout of a guy in there. And like it shows like a little like on the top there's like a red and a green, I guess you'd almost call it a flag that I guess he would turn
Huh.
to let people know, like, it faced green in one direction, red in the other direction,
Yeah, I
and he'd turn it
never.
again. And yeah,
That's awesome.
so yeah, I mean, that's worth checking out, like a little something if you're in the Detroit area and you wondered how old-timey street traffic was managed. Look no further than 9 Mile and Woodward.
It also, roads just blow my mind, but what else just kind of like hard for me to wrap my head around is that the highway system was developed in the 50s,
Yeah.
which, when you think about it, really wasn't that long ago.
No.
And like, I think about, my grandpa was born in 39. So in the 50s, when the highway system was being developed, he would have been in his teens,
Yeah.
probably like just learning to drive. And like, just imagining my grandpa tooling around in his Hudson,
Yeah.
from just hanging out with his friends and,
Suddenly there's an on-ramp to 75.
Yeah, it's crazy to think how, I don't know. And I kind of like think about stuff like that, and then I think about like that was probably a major deal, right? Like, it had to have been a huge deal for people to have this interstate system and be able to travel from state to state and do all of the things, faster and whatever. And it was probably such a big deal. And then I think, like, what in our lifetime is comparable to that?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, like, getting back to the freeway thing, and how I was talking about 696 being built along 11 Mile. When I was a kid and we moved here from Chicago to Farmington Hills, that wasn't even complete yet. That was still being built,
Oh, really?
that stretch of freeway. Yeah,
Wow.
I mean, I didn't notice, I was a kid, but my dad told me about that, like when we moved up here, like that wasn't even finished yet.
Wow.
So it's funny to think that that popped up in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, such an essential road that seems like it's been there forever.
Yeah, I mean for us it has been, for most of us it has been for younger people. But like yeah, what is there comparable in our lifetime to the interstate system being built? Like
I
the
guess maybe the
internet?
internet. Cell phones.
Yeah. Well, even cell phones were technically around for
GPS.
GPS. That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that just have, you know, in our lifetimes. And then, you know, kids today that have just grown up with it.
Yeah.
You know, what are they going to see in their lifetimes?
That's a good question.
Ozempic? I don't know. Really. I mean, we've seen cloned sheep in our lifetimes,
We have. Wow, I forgot
seen
about
people,
that.
human beings get pig hearts and transplants in our lifetime.
Wow.
What else?
I don't
So a
know.
woman had eight children like 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah. That was wild.
Yeah.
It's amazing
Bet
the
the
things that you don't think
mastodons
about.
never saw that coming. Right. I bet Henry Schoolcraft never saw any of that coming.
Yeah, no doubt. What is it called when you have eight children? Like four, what is four? It's like quadruplets.
Yeah, it was Octo. Remember
That's right,
Octomom?
Octomom. Octomom.
Yeah.
So that word,
Octuplets.
yeah, so that word wasn't even in Henry Schoolcraft's vocabulary at that point.
No.
Huh.
But know what it was? Ontonagon.
Oh boy. That's funny. Well, that's the
Have I taken
show.
us far off track? Yeah, okay, good. I don't mean good, but I mean I just realized I probably took us far off track with that.
That's all right. That's cool.
But like getting back to the history of like the Sauk Trail and all that and Native American movements across the continent. I mean, I know we focus strictly on Michigan, but you know, it's just very interesting. It's something I would love to learn more about would be like, you know, the pre-European contact or before European contact with the natives over in America, like more about the history of the continent before
Yeah.
Columbus got here. You know, like in Illinois, along the Mississippi River, there was a city, a Native American city called Cahokia, which at one point was larger than London.
Wow.
And I mean, it's right near, like north of St. Louis. So, you know, that's what I thought of when we were talking about the Sauk Trail, was that that trail probably let, you know, went to that city at the end.
Yeah, I mean, it went all the way to the Mississippian spots or an A
Yeah.
spot, right? So, like, yeah, so I'm sure, I mean, there had to have been more trails that kind of branched off
Yeah.
from that went further west. And
There's just so much we don't know.
there's a lot we don't know.
And it sickens me. Oh, well, maybe next time.
Well, we'll keep educating as much as we possibly can and
All right.
inspiring people to go and do their own research and learn more.
Yes.
Because every, like I always, every time I'm writing and doing research, I've got, sometimes I've got books open, sometimes it's just internet, browsers or whatever, but it's usually a good 6 to 8 browsers open so I can compare notes and compare facts and, different things like that. But I still only scratch the surface of what happens and
Right.
what has happened in the state of Michigan. And sometimes I feel bad about that because it's like I give just a little tiny taste and then I'm like, okay, well, that's it.
Well, I mean, it's all stuff we can examine in the future. I guess if anybody hears something that they that really piques their interest, let us know, and we'll turn over some dark corners over there.
Definitely.
Something.
And like I said, it's, I want to inspire people to go out and do their own adventuring and their own research and, pick something that we've talked about and go explore that some more and see if you find out the same things that we found out. Maybe you find out something different than what we've talked about.
And definitely let us know.
For sure. Yeah. I would love to get a little bit more feedback from people on, the stuff that we share with them and what they've heard.
We're all in this together, confidants.
For sure. That's awesome. So on that note, I guess we'll wrap it up.
All right.
I hope you have a great week, you, Marty, and our listeners.
Thank you.
I hope
You
that,
as well,
thank
Angie.
you. I have so much going on in October. It's crazy, but I hope that everybody, so far only the first episode is out as at the time of this recording. So I haven't really heard much feedback, so I don't know if it's been received well. I don't really know. But I'm hoping that everybody enjoyed it, and I hope that everybody's glad that we're back. I know I am, so.
Yeah. Let us get back into our groove here, people.
Yeah. It's definitely like taking the training wheels off of a bike.
Yeah.
Like, you know how to do it, but sometimes you might need a little bit
Yeah. Don't I know it, sister?
of help. All right, well, I hope everybody has a great week. I hope you guys have an awesome October spooky season, and we will chat at you in about 7 days.
Yes, we will.
So have a good one. Be safe out there. Watch for deer, and text us when you get home.
All right, bye.
Bye.